Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast today. Today is Monday, March 15th, 2021, and in just 5 days, my dear Iranian friends are going to have the celebration of their life. It's officially Nowruz on March 20th, 2021. It's the celebration of the Persian New Year. And since I've been friends with them, I've been happy to announce this every single year on my radio broadcast. And we are going to get a little bit of a music taste today, a little bit of education on what Nowruz is all about. Because, and I'll be honest with you, I have never face-to-face celebrated this great festivity with them. I hope to change that now that I'm retired. Maybe I can do a little traveling and go to some of my Iranian friends in one of the states here and go at a time when Nowruz is just beginning and have a lot of fun, because it's a great ancient celebration. It goes way back to the Persian glory days centuries ago. So it's the Persian New Year. And there is a specific festival that actually starts off the whole celebration. It's called Chahar Shambi Suri. I'm sure I didn't say that right. What in the world is Chahar Shambi Suri? Well, it's one of the most favorite Iranian ancient festivals, and its history dates back to more than 2,000 years ago. The word sur in Chahar Shambi Suri means fire and symbolizes red color, which either can be referred to fire or red color or the face that shows healthiness. Now, this festival is also called the Fire Festival, and it's customary that on the last Wednesday of the year for them will be this Wednesday, people gather together and make a big fire, okay? The festival begins on the sunset of the last Tuesday of the year, this coming Tuesday, and lasts up to the end of the night. It is believed, and here's the tradition, it is believed that jumping over a fire brings fortune. It takes away sickness and misfortune in the coming year. And so for that reason, people jump over the fire and sing, Sorksiye tu zazman, zardiyaman as tu, meaning let your rootiness be mine, my paleness yours. Okay, it is believed that fire cleanses the body. It's also symbolic of the triumph of fire over darkness, or light over darkness. Let me say that again. When my Iranian friends jump over this fire, it can be a small kind of like fire pit, when they jump over it, it's a symbol of the triumph of light over darkness. And it's welcoming spring. It's talking about a new beginning. Actually, Nowruz, the Persian New Year, is welcoming to spring, and it refers to new beginning. In ancient Iran, the fire had great importance, and it was considered everywhere as a symbol of purity and goodness. And there's all kinds of stories of people jumping over fires. You want to see the pictures on my Facebook page. It's really a tradition. Now, in Iran, the government takes a very dim view. They try to interrupt their festivities. They try to ban the Charshanbi Suri, the jumping over fire. They do everything they can to quell any kind of happiness for the Iranian people. There is no happiness in Iran. They take all of that away. But nonetheless, my Iranian friends still do it, and they do it right here in the United States too. And so it's a very special time. Now, of course, it's not just a fire festival. There's food involved, and you know what that means. Lots of good food and eating and festivities will actually begin at the beginning of Nowruz. I know my friends have told me how they will spend it's about 13 days back and forth going to people's houses, and they have all kinds of food. So we're learning a little bit about Nowruz, but I want us to understand a little bit about the history of this celebration. And so I have a special soundbite all prepared to take you on a quick 3-minute journey about what Nowruz is all about. And let's listen right here on The Cross in the Desert.
Welcome to a traditional Nowruz celebration. Wait, what is Nowruz, you may ask? Well, it literally translates to New Day, and it's the Persian New Year. It celebrates the beginning of spring. But Nowruz isn't just a special celebration for Iranians like me.
From Afghanistan and Azerbaijan, all the way to Central Asia and Northern India, it is thought that nearly 190 million people celebrate Nowruz. And although it's often believed to have Zoroastrian origins, it's a holy day for some branches of Islam too. However, for many of us, it is now a secular holiday. Celebrations begin at the exact moment of the spring equinox, when the sun passes above the equator. It's the point that night and day are the same length. This usually happens on the 21st of March, and it marks the first day of the Persian calendar.
And it's this, the Nowruz table, that is the center of many celebrations. In Iran, we call it Haftsin or Seven S's, and seven in Iran is a lucky number. Although other cultures may do it differently, we put seven symbolic items on it, starting with S.
Sabze, made with wheat or lentils, and it represents rebirth. Samanu is a dish that gives common wheat a new life as a sweet, creamy pudding. In Central Asia, they call it sumalak, and it's often considered as the most important item on the Haftsin table. Sib means apple, and it represents health and beauty. Senjet, the sweet and dry fruit of lotus tree, represents love. Sir, which translates to garlic in Persian, represents medicine or good health. Somar, a Persian spice representing sunrise and light overcoming darkness. And finally, serke, which translates to vinegar, and it represents age and patience.
But getting all this together takes weeks of preparation. First, we start with khune tekuni, which literally translates to shaking of the house, a spring clean. And then we go and buy new clothes to wear at the Haftsin table, so we can look our best for Nowruz. Then we start painting eggs, which represents fertility. This is also a common tradition in parts of Afghanistan and Azerbaijan.
There are many other special traditions attached to Nowruz, most famously the Chaharshanbe Suri, a festival which involves jumping over bonfires on the last Wednesday before Nowruz.
So now we have the Haftsin here, but we can't start the celebration until our friends and families get here, so we can really celebrate Nowruz, the Persian New Year. Nowruzetun Mubarak.
And there you have it. A brief history of what I'm talking about, Nowruz. Now, I have to tell you this story. It's part of the stories in my book, The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I have a friend, and her husband still live in Iran. They want to migrate to Canada. It's just a very difficult, long process. But I remember one year, oh gosh, this has been about 8 years ago, where my friend Atifi sent me a text, and she said, "You just won't believe this. This is insane." And it's around the time of Nowruz. Atifi is going out to do what most Iranians do. They buy new clothes for the beginning of spring. So Atifi is going to the clothing store in Tehran. Although she walks in with a confrontation before her eyes, the police are there and the store owner are having this intense conversation. And come to find out that they were on the verge of arresting the store owner because the mannequins in the store did not have hijabs on, did not have veils on. And she said, "This is absolutely insane," because it's a law in Iran. Women cannot go out publicly without first wearing a hijab or be veiled. And if they're caught by the morality police, it's usually they get arrested or get a write-up, and oftentimes they get fined, and in some cases there's public lashing for failing to comply with the clothing law, the Islamic dress code. Well, you and I understand human beings have to wear that oppressive headgear in Iran, but mannequins? Clothing store mannequins. Wow. And I just could not believe that human beings are treated that way, but they treat mannequins the very same way. And my point is, that's what the Iranian police want the Iranian women to behave like, mannequins. Mannequins don't argue with you when you put clothing on them. And so if we have to put hijabs on mannequins and they don't complain, well, the Iranian women, like the mannequins, should not have to complain. How awful. That's a true story. Now, it's interesting. One of the most beautiful aspects of Nowruz for me is the half-sin table. Now, I know that the narrator went over that very quickly, but these tables are beautiful. I actually post a lot of the pictures of them on my Facebook. During Nowruz, my Iranian friends get so creative. But there are seven things on the table that start with the letter S. Lentil sprouts, which is sabiz. They're placed in a dish of water, and it symbolizes rebirth. Sib, or apples, are placed next on the table, which symbolizes health and beauty. Samanu, which is tasty pudding, is added to the table, symbolizing affluence. Sirkay, vinegar, is added to the table, which symbolizes old age and patience. Sir, or garlic, is a very important addition on the half-sin table. It symbolizes medicine for healing. Senjed, which is wild olive fruit, symbolizes love. And sumac is the final item placed on the table, talking about sunrise. When I think of Nowruz, I think of new beginning, which is what the word means. And my Iranian friends are desperate, Persian New Year, that this is the year of new beginnings, that this is the year when finally the oppressive shackles of this evil government will finally be lifted off their shoulders, that this will be the year when democracy and freedom finally come to Iran. There are some of my Iranian friends that will not celebrate Nowruz until that happens. Some of them live here in the United States, and I've talked with them and I say, "Hey, I don't see anything on your page about Nowruz." Well, we refuse to celebrate. We have no reason, no joy, no happiness to celebrate until our people are free in Iran. Can understand that. But as we talked about the half-sin table, where all of these different items symbolize something, Nowruz is very symbolic. I talked to you about Char Harsh, the fire festival, because I can't say the word. The fire festival has great meaning, and the items on the table have great meaning, and the meaning of the word Nowruz has great meaning as well. But you know, from a Christian standpoint, from a biblical standpoint, I think of light triumphing over darkness, Shar Shambi, Suri, and Nowruz, new beginning, is very filled with very strong, important, biblical meanings. You see, when I think of jumping over the fire, light triumphing over darkness, I think of the words of Jesus, who says, I am the light of the world. He who believes in me, he who follows after me, will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Then I think about the term Nowruz, new beginning. This is a new year. Things are going to be different. Well, what's the biggest struggle for most people? Most people are ashamed of their past sins, and they want a new beginning. And Nowruz is that new beginning. But do you know the Bible says you can have a new beginning? You can have a new start, a fresh start, where all of your guilt and shame is washed away. And that's what it means in the Bible when it says you must be born again. Jesus said this to a very religious member of the Pharisees, a member of the religious elite, who came to him at night and talked to him and says, Rabbi, we know you are a man sent by God because no one can do these miracles unless God be with him. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Well, what does that mean? Well, born again means born from above. It means that God gives you a new heart, a new spirit, a new beginning. And it's a miracle. And so in the act of being born again, we are actually coming out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And all of our sins, past, present, and future, have been washed away. And so I want you to know, when I think of traditional Nowruz and the idea of light over darkness, jumping over fire, new beginning, I just want to say that there's a message for my dear Iranian friends all about light over darkness, all about new beginnings. It is a promise that God wants to give to them. It is a new beginning, yes, in the new year. This Saturday will be lots of celebrating. But there's also a new beginning when we come to Christ. And we find out how much he loves us, how much he forgives us, how much he gives us hope, and he gives us freedom. And he promises that when we walk with him as the light of the world, he is leading and guiding us by the light of his love and the light of his precious word. Now, another aspect, of course, that we can never forget when we speak about Nowruz is music. Let me tell you something. Until you have been to a Nowruz celebration and listen to the music, you don't know what you're missing. So I thought I'd do a little bit of celebrating with you this morning. This is just a taste of some of the music of Nowruz. Let's listen. Well, that's just a little bit of taste of what you're going to enjoy later, because I have a surprise for all of us. There is an artist living in Iran. I wrote about him in my book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran, and also Shout Freedom. His name is Mehdi Rajabian, and he plays sitar as good as I've ever heard anyone play it. And later on, I'm going to feature some music from him. But what I want to tell you about music and about Mehdi Rajabian is that a year or so ago, he had a project put on CD through Sony Music, and it's called Middle Eastern. And it's a fantastic musical project that Mehdi put together with other musicians all over the world. And they put together these different songs. They're all instrumental, featuring all different instruments. And it was songs for human rights. And Mehdi will tell you that the greatest weapon against this government is music. Music speaks of a story louder than any voice, he says, louder than any pen, any sword. The music, and you will hear this later, the music is one of the most important focuses of his life. Now, of course, when Mehdi started composing music a few years ago, they didn't like it that on his music project he would feature the voices of women, which in Iran you can't do that. Women can't be part of musical projects. They can't sing publicly. And so the fact that he had musical voices on his music project landed him in prison, and it almost killed him. I mean, he went on a hunger strike. He protested. Now, he's been out of prison since then, and he's under constant surveillance of the government. But it was when he was in prison that he got the idea for music. He got the idea for putting together a musical project which would speak to the heart of his beliefs, because he wanted to say something to the world about the terrible treatment of human beings in the Middle East. And that's why he called his project Middle Eastern. So now I've told you a little bit about Mehdi and told you a little bit about his background. I want to share with you one of the songs from Middle Eastern, and this is called Iran. Let's listen.
Thank you.
incredibly moving and intense. Do you know, only a few months after the release of Mehdi's Middle Eastern, this album achieved significant international success. It won the silver medal of the Global Music Awards in June of 2019. And this music award I'm speaking of, it's an award in support of independent musicians around the world, and it's held annually in the United States. There's so much uniqueness about this album. And I wanted to also point out that Zara Dogan, she's a Kurdish painter. She was responsible for the creative artwork that's featured on the album Middle Eastern. A little bit about Zara. In 2016, she was arrested and imprisoned for depicting in a painting the Turkish military destroying the Kurdish town of Nusaybin. And when she got out of prison, she, of course, worked with Mehdi on this project. Their reason for the project, to bring greater peace and stability to the Middle East. Mehdi says, "I chose my path years ago. The important thing for me is to create art so I can inject my thoughts into society. Right now, the only communication politicians understand," Mehdi writes, "is war, human rights violations, and suppression. But we talk back to them with music. The only weaponry and power we possess is the language of music." And Mehdi says in conclusion, "I feel like music is a language which has no borders. And so we can unite different countries together and scream a message of peace." And that was the result of this album. In this album, Middle Eastern, he had musicians from 12 countries that included Iran, Yemen, Egypt, Syria, Iraq, and the Palestinian territories. It's well worth the time for you to listen to Middle Eastern by Mehdi Rejabi. And perhaps this is a good time, right during Nowruz, to feature these songs and to play them, because it has a message. It is powerful. It speaks human freedom, human rights, and peace throughout the Middle East. One of the things I love to do for my Iranian friends is write their stories. And for the last, my gosh, 10 years since I began this ministry to them, I've been writing their stories in several books. I just quoted to you from The Cross in the Desert, from Shout Freedom. But along the way, I wrote a novel to try to really communicate to the world what life is like for Iranians behind the border, I call it, behind the iron fist of the Islamic Republic of Iran. One of the novels that I wrote was entitled The Rose of Nowruz, Dreams of Hope and Freedom. And this was written back in 2013. It's the story of a young concert violinist named Bahara who lives in Tehran, Iran. She is a faithful Muslim. She comes from a very strict religious family. And she is surrounded by a culture that is oppressive to women. And as she looks every day at what is happening to her friends in Iran, it begins to cause her to question her Muslim faith. And as I mentioned, she's a talented concert violinist. She becomes part of a play. In a veiled way, they're putting on this performance where she plays the violin. It's called The Rose of Nowruz. And it's a play about freedom. And in my book, they are busy putting on these performances, and they got messages of freedom there without being extremely explicit. But of course, someone tells the government what's going on, and they come and arrest everyone, including Behera. But before that happens in the book, there is a scene, a very personal scene. Behera has just witnessed a woman being beaten in the streets by the Ghasti Irshad, the morality police. And she just can't stand to see the way women are treated simply because they didn't wear their hijab correctly or didn't wear it at all. And she has just gone to class at university and listened to a teacher give this great dissertation on how Muhammad was a champion for women's rights. And she says, but how can that be possible? Look at this culture, this country of mine that is ruled by the Quran. Look how they treat women. How can that be true? And there's a scene in my book where Bahira is waiting at the bus stop to go home. And she's thinking about the day, the whole events of the day, watching a woman beaten by the Ghasi Irshad and the morality police. And as she is waiting for the bus, she begins to write down her thoughts about the day. She snapped that day while riding on the bus, noticing that women had to sit in a certain section of the bus while men sat in another section. And she saw the image of the rose for her on Nowruz. The image of a red rose was the symbol of freedom. Image is calling down to her. And she begins to write this poem that's going to be used in the stage play that she's a part of. She says, I am a woman. I am more than just a veil. I am more than what I wear. I am someone. Someone who has the right to speak her mind, the right to be heard, the right to pursue her dreams, the right to be respected, and the right to be treated as an equal. I have the right to live as I choose, the right to pursue my dreams, and the right to be happy. God has given me all of these rights, and no man or government can take these rights away from me. I am a woman, and I proclaim my right to be free. That was a changing, transformational moment for Bahira. If you want to know more about how my Iranian friends have to live, I encourage you to go up to Amazon.com and purchase this book, The Rose of Nowruz, Dreams of Hope and Freedom, by yours truly. It's quite a long novel, but it will give you insight into the celebration of Nowruz and the life of Bahira. And when I think of Nowruz, I think of this one year. I was supposed to meet with my friend Modest on Skype, and we had some internet problems. As you know, in Iran, they filter the internet, and we weren't able to meet, and I was reflecting on kind of being disappointed that we couldn't meet. And I thought about that meeting, and I wrote down kind of a prayer for my Iranian friends on Nowruz, and I want to share that with you today. Because, again, Nowruz doesn't begin to this weekend. I'm doing it today because I don't have a broadcast on the weekend. But I want you to think about everything I've said to you this morning and think about my friends that still live in Iran. They don't live here in the United States. And they want to have freedom. They want to have democracy. And Nowruz is a great beginning, a new beginning, and they're thinking about that. But this is a prayer I wrote for them from my book, The Cross in the Desert. My dear friends in Iran, I pray that your new year is filled with peace, prosperity, and freedom. As you gather together with your families this year and sit around your hafsin tables, please don't forget that I am thinking of you and praying for you. I am praying that God will give you the desires of your hearts and that your dreams and visions for the future will one day be finally realized. I am praying that one day you will have a free Iran where you can walk down the streets without fear of being monitored, without fear of being stopped because of the way you dress. I am praying for the day that you can believe as you choose, that you can speak your mind without fear of imprisonment. I am praying for the day that you will have true freedom. I believe that day will come, my dear Iranian friends. I know that God hears the cries of your hearts. Your lives are precious to him. He will deliver you from all fear and oppression. And I wanted to leave you with a promise from the Bible describing that day of freedom that I have spoken to you about. And this is from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 3 through 5. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's throne is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with him. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. All these things are gone forever." And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." My dear Iranian friends, this is a promise from our great God. He cannot lie. What he promises will happen. It is absolutely true. I want to assure you that one day your pain and suffering will finally come to an end. Our pain and suffering is going to come to an end. This promise is guaranteed to everyone who puts their hope and faith in Jesus. And I know this from my own life. Jesus has given me a peace and an assurance that has sustained me through the dark and difficult trials of my own life. Jesus is that rose of Nauruz that can give you hope for the future. He is trustworthy and true. Doc Panahikota, which means from Farsi to English, "I pray that the Lord takes care of you." Bi Parvadega Misperamit, which means from Farsi to English, "God bless you. Happy New Year." This is more than just a sentimental wish. It's a very intense cry and prayer from my heart. And I can assure you that God hears our prayers. He promises that. There's a beautiful promise here in my book, The Cross in the Desert, from Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14. "He will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and the needy, and he will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to him." This tiny little psalm I have used on almost every radio broadcast, in almost every book I have written. It is my daily prayer for my Iranian friends. The language in this psalm is so beautiful. Rescuing, helping the oppressed, defending the oppressed, feeling pity for the weak and needy, and redeeming them from oppression and violence, because the lives of my Iranian friends are precious to God. I want my Iranians, my Iranian friends, to have a great new year. I know that after the stroke of midnight this Saturday, I'll be celebrating with them in spirit. No matter where they are in the world, they are always on my mind. No matter what corner of the globe they're in. Some of my Iranian friends are in Turkey waiting for that interview from immigration to leave, to go to a country that has sponsored them, or to a host country, or somewhere where they have freedom. So this midnight on this Saturday, I am praying for them that the interview they will soon have will be good news in the new year, that they are finally leaving Turkey or wherever they're at to go to a place of freedom. I have a dear friend. Her name is Nargis. She lives in Sweden. She's an asylum seeker. She's a human rights activist. And the government there has decided they don't believe her. They don't believe her story. And they're going to have her deported. If she goes back to Iran as a Christian and a human rights activist, it would be the death sentence. For this Nowruz, I'm thinking of her and praying that God will intervene in her situation and keep her from being deported back to a very dangerous situation back in Iran. I'm thinking of my friend Gila in Turkey, who has an interview coming up very soon. She's been in Turkey for the last 5 years, and she needs to find a country that will help her and sponsor her where she can have true peace and true freedom. Things are not good for Iranians in Turkey. So I'm thinking of Gila. I'm thinking of Narges. I'm thinking of my friend Namenush in Sweden, my co-author friend. Her mother is in Turkey. And she wants her and her mother to one day go to another country where there's better situations, better things for them, and hope and freedom for them. So my Iranian friends are on my heart this Nowruz, whether they live here in the United States or abroad. Also, want to just mention my good friend Mona and David that live in Georgia. They are dear friends of mine. I want them to have a prosperous, great Iranian New Year. I know I'm forgetting somebody, and I don't mean to, but I'm thinking about all of you this Nowruz. I'm thinking about your hope, your freedom, and I'm praying that this will be the year where we can look and see the beginning of the end for the government in Iran and the beginning of democracy in Iran. Democracy and freedom. That is my constant prayer for my dear Iranian friends. I want to say happy Nowruz to all of you. And I want to say thank you so much for listening today to the broadcast. Thank you so much. Have yourself a great week. And I will see you again on Thursday on the Cross in the Desert. God bless you. Have a great week.